You thought this moment wouldn't come, but it has. It's time for three stories you should know. I'm joined by the San Francisco Chronicle's Ann Killian. Welcome back, Ann.
Thanks for having me, Howard.
And by The Nation's Dave Zirin. Welcome back, Dave.
Oh, it's great to be here, Howard.
All right, I'm going to bat leadoff. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban will donate $10 million to women's groups after a league investigation concurred with a Sports Illustrated report of decades-long misogyny within the organization. Here he is speaking with ESPN's Rachel Nichols.
You know, first, just an apology to the women involved, the women that in a couple cases were assaulted, not just to them, but their families. It stays with people, it stays with families, and I'm just sorry I didn't see it.
Much of the conversation I hear from men is they're the ones in the bullseye, that they must adopt a Mike Pence rule of never meeting with women one-on-one in order to avoid scandal. Last week, the New York Review of Books even ran a cover titled The Fall of Men, as if some great tragedy is occurring. We're witnessing, Ann Killian, a massive counterattack against women that, to me, is very, very dangerous.
You know, this is a story that continues to come up in all walks of life. So for Mark Cuban to be surprised it was happening right under his nose seems a little disingenuous. I feel that women are under attack, but I also think a lot of women, especially women of the new generation, are feeling more emboldened and more willing to stop letting this stuff get swept under the carpet like it has been for so long. And I, you know, you look at those gymnasts, you know, the littlest athletes on earth brought down this man, and it took them all banding together, but they found that strength. So I feel like there's a positive side of this, that there's strength in numbers and people are speaking out.
There's this lie, a great lie, that's, I think, taught to men, that they are somehow giving up power and privilege if they listen to women's voices or listen to the Me Too movement. And I think we need to fight that and have people understand that it's far more important that men and women come together to make sure that these kinds of abuses of power and these abuses of violence no longer occur in our public life, whether we're talking about the sports world or the real world.
Yeah, I think one of the things that gets to me about this more is this notion that the guys are under attack, and also the flip side of the consequence when it comes to women. If you actually begin to believe that you can't have a meeting with a female employee, you can't have a meeting with a coworker, then they're going to be the ones who are out of opportunities. They're going to be the ones who miss out on promotions. They're going to be the ones who miss out on some a lot of the social elements that enhance your career. This is dangerous stuff.
I'd agree with that. It's kind of the old, you know, on the golf course or in the bar talking. Those are the places that women have always wanted to be able to get the promotions, to make the connections. And now there's going to be a backlash to that. There's no doubt. It's something we all have to guard against. It's absurd, but we have to.
It's also worth noting that this kind of male victimization complex, I mean, it goes back as far as the women's liberation movement in the 1960s and 70s. These aren't new ideas. I think what's different right now is that women are actually organizing themselves. And because of social media, they're able to attain some victories and shed light for a national audience.
Exactly. Here's the deal. Guys, you know what you're doing. Let's not make it seem like we're under threat. We're not. Let's go to football. Dave, your turn.
Now, recent years have seen a spate of early retirements from the NFL, of people who've chosen to walk away from pro football instead of limp. And this past weekend, however, early retirement was taken to a whole other level as Buffalo Bills cornerback Vontae Davis retired at halftime. He got dressed in his street clothes during halftime and dipped. He left the stadium. Immediately, the condemnation started flying across the football world, and typical was his teammate Raphael Bush, who said after the game, "I think I did lose a little respect for him as a man." Now, manhood in the NFL is defined by a willingness to get hurt and hurt others, even if your heart isn't in it. It took a particular kind of courage for Davis to walk away when he did. I think we need to remind ourselves that this isn't gladiatorial combat, and these aren't warriors. This is a business. As Vontae Davis said in his statement, "I shouldn't be out there anymore." And that's all anyone should need to hear.
Well, I would agree that you don't want him on the field if he doesn't want to be there. You know, it's dangerous for everyone involved. I kind of feel that he owed his teammates an explanation. I feel that to walk out in the middle of a game on a bad team that's being humiliated.
So you think he was a little unprofessional?
I would call it very unprofessional, yeah. And I think a lot of us would walk out after a half of football. I still think you owe it to your teammates to tell them how you feel instead of just dashing out the door.
Yeah, I think the part that got me was the getting dressed and walking out of the building. And I agree with you, Dave, on this, that the entire code, the manhood code, the real man code, it took a hit and it needed to take a hit.
Yeah. And I think that's the part of it that I find most interesting, because so much of masculinity in our society is constructed, I would argue, by the NFL, or that there's no cultural force that I think we need to hold accountable more than the NFL. And Vontae Davis took that and basically turned it on its head and said, I'm going to accept every criticism. I'm going to accept everybody who says I'm not a real man. And he said, I'm going to take all of this for the simple reason that I want to be with my family. And I thought it was great. Like, in a follow-up interview, he was asked if he was upset by the response that he received. And he was basically like, I feel great. I'm not playing in the NFL anymore.
You know, and Anne, you saw it with Chris Borland with the 49ers. And I think one thing that we don't pay enough attention to, because we focus on the glamour and because we focus on the money, is how much this game hurts to play.
It does. And if I can, that brings me to my story. The Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm sure you guys have covered the induction ceremony, which I find to be one of the sadder sights in all of sports. The men who were titans on the football field hobble onto the stage. Their bodies and too often their minds are broken by their work for the National Football League. This week, a group of Hall of Famers led by Eric Dickerson wrote a letter threatening to boycott the ceremonies if they don't get health care and a share of revenues. And at first glance, I was more than sympathetic with their plea. I think the players are right to be angry that Commissioner Roger Goodell receives $40 million in an annual salary, yet many of their own can't afford health care. But then I took a closer look at the letter, and I think it's more divisive than helpful. It asks for benefits only for the Hall of Famers, who are the elite of the elite, the guys who accumulated more wealth than their lesser-known teammates. Isn't football supposed to be the ultimate team game? What about all those unremembered linemen who blocked for players like Dickerson and the others? What about the close to 20,000 men who played in the NFL who aren't in the Hall of Fame? Dickerson said his request is a first step with the goal of getting benefits for all. But the letter specifically makes the request for only Hall of Famers.
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys were just valued at $5 billion.
That's right.
There is enough money to make sure that players have health care for more than just 5 years after retirement, which is currently the way the system is set up. I mean, that in and of itself is just such a slap in the face if you think about when the injuries are going to occur and accrue over the course of a lifetime. So there is a correct step in players with this kind of leverage and cultural capital, the Hall of Famers, to step forward and say this needs to change. But my goodness, is that letter narrowly written. And in that regard, it was a mistake.
And last thing for you, when you think about this, where do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think that people like Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Kurt Warner have objected to this. So I think this effort, it's kind of hurting them. But I think all these guys are getting wake-up calls as they age. And I think there is going to be a movement. What they need to do is pass it down to the younger generation.
Yeah, and especially the younger generation. Maybe some guys like Chris Borland or Vontae Davis who have decided to walk away, they could be leaders on this simply because they're recognizing the potential for what happens in the future. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been The Nation's Dave Zirin. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much.
And the San Francisco Chronicle's Ann Killian. Thank you, Ann Killian.
Thank you, Howard Bryant.
You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.